Accession number 34596.
Reel 4.
Good, who reel 4? So, John, the operations that you flew, you mentioned earlier that obviously when they pulled the curtain back, there was a gap with the distances. Was that the main issue for a lot of the time? Was it the fact that it was the missions that will be most unpopular will be the longest ones?
Yes.
Time factor?
Yes.
Or is that the amount of time that you have to spend over enemy territory?
I think both together, really. I mean, yes, the longer you're in the air over enemy territory, the more hazard there is. Because one of the chaps you could get a clue from was the ground staff had they been refueling, you know, how much fuel they put in.
Were there particularly unpopular locations that you had to go to?
Well, the one I didn't have to go to, which was the most unpopular, I suppose, was Berlin. And after that, the Ruhr was a very concentrated area. The Ruhr was relatively short. Berlin, of course, a longer one. Places like Dresden, interestingly enough, with Dresden, I was still on the squadron waiting for a posting, I think. And I can remember chatting to a couple of blokes the day after that they'd been on the Dresden raid. And I can remember, I still remember them saying that the intelligence officer giving a general description about the target, saying that the town was full of lots of refugees fleeing from the Russians. And they made them quite unhappy about it.
Oh, so they were unhappy at the time.
Well, when they were briefed, you see, they thought, you know, well, it's a bit tough, but you see, in Dresden there were very important military targets to hit. So, what do you do?
I mean, that general attitude towards it, I mean, am I right in thinking that at that stage of the war, most of you would have had the attitude that essentially that the RAF was only continuing what the Germans had done at the start of the war?
Well, yes, and also we were getting quite a lot of V1s and V2s over here, and the V2 we had no answer to at all, and that went on almost to the end of the war. So there was still being a lot of casualties here.
So on the operations when you were flying, again you flew over the winter months, what were flying conditions like during that period of time?
The weather, we often got quite a bit of icing, which could make flying a bit difficult. Thunderstorms, which could be a bit frightening. Can't think of anything else that was that particularly remember.
Were there any problems with fog on return?
Very occasionally, because we had two or three stations along the Suffolk coast which were equipped with FIDO. Fog intensive dispersal of, which of course were available, but from one or two people who landed in them, it's quite frightening trying to land in a straight line with flames on both sides of you. But,
were there occasions where you would be diverted from your home field at the time?
There were. It didn't happen to me personally, but it did happen quite a lot, yes. Yes.
And the other thing is, when you were returning to the UK, how were you able to find your airfield in that? What was the sort of procedure for finding that? Because I'm assuming that although there's a navigator, as you said, there's quite a few airfields across the area.
Mm.
And you're returning in the darkness. What was
the pilot's got his RT. called out.
So he would call up the airfield, yes, and they would direct him on the
path
with
that. Yes.
And with the aircraft as well, obviously you would have your ground crew maintain it. Did you have to place a lot of faith, obviously, in the work of the ground crews?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that was dreadfully important. It was a pretty hard slog for ground crew, working in all hours and all weather conditions. But it was absolutely crucial. Somebody does something carelessly, and seven guys don't get back.
Did you have any occasions where you had malfunctions and had to return?
No, fortunately, never.
So the standard of maintenance on the aircraft was...
was good, oh yes.
How difficult was that in the conditions you mentioned on the airfield? Because I'm assuming that through the winter months, that all that maintenance had to occur outdoors.
Mm, absolutely. That was the thing that I so admired about ground crew. You know, they didn't get much appreciation, except for our Operation Cook's tour after the war ended, where the ground crew were taken over to see the bomb damage. But that was just one way, I suppose, of showing some appreciation of what they'd done.
You say that you finished with the squadron in March.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you posted to for that period? Because obviously the war's still continuing, so you finished your tour, but where were you posted to?
I can't even remember the station now. I was posted to a station where I was supposed to be instructing in one of the gadgets in the aircraft. I think it was Fish Pond. I had a very brief instruction on it, and then I found myself spending an hour or two a week instructing and the rest of the time playing bridge, which I became quite good at, so you know, it wasn't entirely wasted. And then I had to go on... The war ended, and of course the big problem was, what do they do with all these aircrew? And of course my demob number was quite a long way on. So I had to do an admin course at St Athens in Wales. And of course we had a general election, but I didn't have a vote because I wasn't considered old enough to be able to vote. So anyway, I finished up down in Plymouth on a marine craft maintenance unit, which was very interesting because we had all these high-speed launches there. Great fun, have a little trip down the Cornish coast from time to time. And we had some very... the Air Ministry decided they'd sell off a lot of these boats. And we had some very dodgy characters came down to look at them. And it didn't surprise me when I read in the paper on one occasion that one of them, the chap obviously hadn't kept the maintenance going, and he broke down on being pursued by coast guards full of contraband. So that's what they were used for. The other amusing little thing I can recall from that point of time was we were given clothing coupons in 1946. And so I went over into Plymouth with my coupons. There were hardly any shops there because they'd all been blitzed. But there was a big Victorian house where they turned the ground floor into a shop. And these clothes were rather like jumble sales, where there were old corduroy trousers of the sort that navvies wore and hairy jackets. And that's all there was, so that's what I bought. And the next time I had a free evening, I went into the Plymouth, into the forces place, into the bar, and practically all the blokes there were wearing corduroy trousers and hairy jackets. So it was a bit of a waste of time, really. In fact, so many of us had corduroy trousers that when the bar opened at 6:30, it became known as the Rush of the Gabardine Swine, for those who know that. Remember their Bible.
So essentially, at that stage, are you really marking time? Because was there an opportunity to stay on in the Air Force, or did you want to?
Well, I was offered a short service commission because I was commissioned at the end of the tour. I think it was because the skipper, he was awarded the DFC, and I think he was allowed to recommend two members of the crew for a commission, and for some reason he chose me as one of them. And the problem was 5 years. I thought, well, I'm coming up to 22. If I stay on, then they don't want me after 5 years. I come out at 27 without any experience of civilian life. So perhaps it's better I go now. But often you have crossroads in your life, and you take one direction, and you can wonder afterwards what would have been if you'd gone the other, but academic.
So when did you come out?
I came out in April 47.
And really, if you can sum up for me, how do you feel now about having served with Bomber Command in the war?
Well, I feel privileged to, an honour to have been in Bomber Command, because although they didn't, they were praised during the war, and then at the end of the war they got a lot of raspberries, and then in due course, many years on, but now the Bomber Command have sort of become recognised for what they were, and I even found myself in the program Bomber Boys, the TV program, a couple of years ago, which I've been ribbed about ever since, particularly when I was asked why I joined aircrew. And I said, well, at 17, I thought, one, you get more money, two, you got sheets with your blankets, three, you got a pair of shoes, and four, once you got your wing, it pulled in the birds. And that went down quite well, I think.
Yeah.